Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about dopamine and some of the things I've been thinking about in my own life that I hope can really help you in yours. If you've got dyslexia, ADHD, or anything that has an impact from dopamine, this is for you. Okay, let's talk dopamine. Dopamine is the neurochemical that helps us build motivation, stay stimulated, show satisfaction in the brain, does all of these funky cool things that we all need. Now, many of us with different levels of neurodiversity, be it ADHD, dyslexia, I see often that they've got issues with dopamine. Now, some people haven't been diagnosed fully with any of these challenges, but they think they've got problems. You potentially also may be having some of these challenges. Now, my whole life, I've, you know, continued to learn more about dopamine and seen the impact it has on me. And it's really like a flood, you know, of different, I don't want to say feelings, but a flood of different challenges that appear in different periods of my life. Because I think with all of us, you know, we all like to think that we're consistent and awesome and just do all the good things that our bodies need all the time. We like to think that, hey, we put ourselves first, right? And that we know how our bodies work, we know how we operate, but realistically, many of us are absolutely terrible at this. It's not our skill set. when you're struggling with dopamine, you struggle to stay consistent because you don't have a consistent motivation factor in your mind. When something starts to get boring, you start to pull away from it. You start to do it less and less and less. And I see this happening to myself. You know, I actually have something I could be doing at work right now, and instead I'm going to push that an hour later and actually do this podcast recording because it's more interesting to me. I'd rather talk to you guys about dopamine than I would do work that in my brain is boring. It just doesn't motivate me. It just literally pushes me away from it. It's like literally someone has their hands up and is saying, don't do that. That's going to be boring. There's no happy dopamine chemicals going to be released from it. You should do something else that helps stimulate that in your mind. Now, it doesn't say that, but it gives me the feeling or the impression of it because that's how my brain works. Now, taking, with my ADHD, by taking Ritalin definitely helps to keep my brain stimulated and working in a much more impactful way. And so in the mornings, I can really feel that benefit. I take a lot of my Ritalin is more long lasting from the morning, so I get the best impact in the morning. If I'm honest, I'm not sure how long lasting it really is. Probably gives me maybe 4 or 5 hours if I'm lucky of it, and then I start to decline a bit. So with it, it has really helped me stay focused for the boring stuff. So I try and get all the boring stuff for me done in the morning. And then I try and do a bit more fun stuff in the afternoon. But I think one of the things that's been really on my mind recently with it is how do I start to build in better levels of consistency? Because I go through waves. Like if my life was the same every day, like I don't know what would happen. I just wouldn't be able to do it. It doesn't work for me. If I didn't have some level of chaos created by something, you know, when my business is running too smoothly and you know, I'm in too good a financial position, I need to either change that or I need something different to happen. Does that make sense? Like, it sounds a bit crazy, right? You might be going, he's lost his mind. But this is the truth. How often have you seen someone in what looked like a really good relationship blow it up for some silly reason, like the grass is greener on the other side, or you know what, I just don't feel in love anymore. Or they come up with some crap, let's be honest, like that, to try and justify poor decisions. And 9 times out of 10, it's just because they've got lower dopamine and their minds are going, I'm really bored. What if I shoved a spanner in the works right here and let's see what happens? Because I'll tell you, you are going to get a flood of neurochemicals. I'm not sure it's just dopamine. It's probably a bunch of other cool stuff as well when you do that. And you might think, why would I break this up? And in the long term, you reflect on it and go, that was a stupid decision. But in the present, your brain was just so desperate for some level of stimulation, it would rather wreck something good in your life than it would than anything else. It's also why, like, I do wonder in some circumstances if it keeps people in bad relationships or keeps them in bad places in their life, because that struggle they're going through is really good for the dopamine of the mind. You know, for example, when we were building this house, me and my wife, not just me, there were also builders involved. I didn't lift a hammer, let's be honest. But like this build got drawn out multiple years, longer than it should have. Caused challenges, it caused problems, it caused a bit of chaos. Now, while that chaos was going on, I was very aware there's benefit to the chaos. There's benefit to dreaming about the house before I get into it. There's all this benefit of the craziness, because it was semi-controllable chaos, which was good. I like that because I have some control. I'm not completely uncertain. But also that it was giving me enough friction to keep the brain operating. Now, there were different challenges across that. But overall, for my dopamine side, it was okay. It kind of gave me something to look forward to. Now we're in here and we're settled and things are coming together. I don't want to say it's boring, because it's absolutely awesome. Okay, I'm very blessed. I'm grateful for it from that point of view. I know how lucky I am. But also, there's a part of me going, now it's quite easy. You know, I'll be honest. Like, it's a great house. I've got all the food I need. I've got a great bed to sleep in. I've got a cool office. I just bought myself a bar fridge. Just always wanted one of those. And like all those little things, those little details are coming together. And so there's not a huge amount of dopamine release, because I've oddly been living, and this is the thing with dyslexia, is because our dyslexic minds are so visual and we can create such real worlds in our head, we can sometimes pre-live the dopamine high in our minds before we actually get the full outcome. Does that make sense? So like, I've actually lived this house before we got it. I felt it, I believed it, I knew we were coming here. I dreamed about the ensuite through to the bedroom, through to my office. I overthought every minuscule thing. Does that make sense? And from that, I got the cool excitement levels. And I saw the same thing happen in previous relationships where I was struggling to break up with a partner in real life. And I had done it so often in my head that when I actually broke up with her, when it finally happened, there's a whole other episodes on that, but when it actually happened, I didn't have like any emotional issues at the end of it, because I'd already had all of those before the breakup even happened. So my mind, my visual dyslexic mind that was so clear, could create like future emotional states that kind of pre-prepared me for those other emotional states. So the way our neurochemicals work are different. We pull on things differently. It all works differently. And when it comes to dopamine being a big one, it's how do you balance it when you get to this point? How do you get to it when you get itchy feet? Now, I'm lucky. I have my wife there, and we're similar, and we can have these deeper conversations. You know, we both know that we've created this beautiful place, but we both need to make sure that we've got enough friction in our lives, positive friction, to keep going. And while we moved here, like I started, you know, I go on and off of alcohol a bit. You know, it's just how it works with me, or it has worked with me. It's a story I tell myself. You know, you don't have to do that, do you? But in my head, I kind of think I do. So I started this year, 1 month off alcohol was great. Worked well. I then, with the move in here, there was so much stress around this and work all at the same time. I decided, hey, you can use alcohol to release stress, which I think we all know it doesn't really release stress. It gives the impression of that, and then it usually causes more pain in the long run than the opposite way around. And so I used it as a tool to release the stress. And to be honest, in part it did. It was good. It kept me going over this period. It was good. But I've got to this point afterwards going, okay, I need to take some positive action on my dopamine levels. And I know that by drinking does not help my dopamine levels in the long run. So I've got to sober up from that. And so I've made the call. It's what's going to happen. I'm hoping I don't release a podcast in a month saying I'm drinking again. I'm really hoping that. But no, I've realized that, hey, I've got to get some of these things back in line to create a better future for what I'm after. Because if I'm in this more calm period of my life, I need to make sure I'm doing more and more of the routine stuff that helps my dopamine. You know, meditation is one I talk a lot about. Physical exercise, so I'm really trying to work out more at the gym. I'm doing this great technique at the moment with it, and I'm going to be releasing a podcast maybe next week about that to explain a bit more of what I'm doing to kind of change my emotional connection to the gym and similar stuff, because the gym is great for helping regulate dopamine. I'm also taking, you know, you may have heard in previous podcasts, more B6, more folate, certain things that also help with dopamine production. I'm also trying to sleep better. I'm continually telling myself to go to bed at 8, 9 o'clock at night and get a good 8 hours, because I know, hands down, I work better on more sleep. I just work better. I just trust myself when I've gone to bed. When I wake up, I get up where possible, and I carry on, and it works well. But when I miss sleep, or alcohol's affected my sleep, or whatever's affected my sleep, I know it's not going to be as good. And so being aware when you're going through these periods where you're in a really high stress zone, and you know dopamine's being driven by external factors, that's one thing. The second thing is, how can I now that I know that I've been through that period, and if I'm honest, I don't have a huge amount of long-term big things, how can I now double down on my routines that increase my dopamine on a daily basis? You know, that's what I want to get across today. It's so important, because if you're not driving the machine, if you're not driving yourself, you know, the rest of the world, the external factors will drive you down the wrong holes. You know, you'll go into the wrong place. You'll start, you know, like if I keep drinking, I'm not in a good place there. It's not helping me. It's not producing more dopamine. It's not giving my brain the chance to create the right dopamine in the right ways. And so I need to be tripling down on routines. So if you've noticed your routine slipping, and you're starting to think, oh, I just feel worse and worse, and I'm not good enough. And because you're not feeling that way, you start to use, maybe it's junk food or other stuff as your dopamine trigger. Now, I'm so common at this. Drinking, eating poorly is my cheap dopamine hit tool. You know, that's what I use. I know that when I'm in a bad place, those are the two things. So I know that to get back, I have to, one, stop drinking is a big thing. And then two, I have to start getting my diet right. Those two things are game changers. And I can't do them all at once. Like the old days, I'd try and do them all at once, and then I'd wonder why it failed. But I know I've got to give drinking up for 2 weeks, and then I'm back in the zone, back in the saddle, and then I can start improving my diet, you know, properly, all at the same kind of similar times, but just staggered, so that I don't put too much pressure on my dopamine system. Because if I take away alcohol, which I'm using as a dopamine tool for me, and then I take away that fast food or that, all of that, so I'm not saying I only eat that, but when I do eat it, then it's kind of like really depriving my brain of it. And if I haven't replaced it with better sleep, meditation, all of that side of it, I'm going to fail. There's a reason I fail. It's not because I'm bad at it or I'm weak. It's purely because I've kind of held my body to ransom on dopamine. And it's never a good way of doing it. So I'll keep updating you guys over the coming months on this and show you how it's working. And yeah, appreciate you listening, guys. And I'll be back next week. I've got a great podcast on this tool I'm using to remove emotional challenges. And I'll be back. Talk soon.